Hi, my name is Norman. I'm a compulsive eater. I live in Las Vegas. My abstinent date is January 10th, 2025. I'm 71 years old. When I came to see how I was not my top weight that I know about. The top known weight is 217 pounds, though I've seen some pictures of me in the hospital and from 2017, which I'm certain I was more than that, but I'm 5'10". So my weight today is 156, and I was 179 when I got here in January 10th. So I've been on maintenance for over a year. So I'll start. I'm going to try to do this chronologically. I'm sober in AA since July 29th, 1984, but speaking and see how presents challenges that I'm grateful for because it feels new. It doesn't feel like, oh, I would be able to do this easily. And it's important. See how it's become very important to me. And I had my childhood, my mother always had a weight problem. And I came from, oh, my mother. And so, but, you know, I really loved my mother a lot, and she struggled with the weight. She went on a lot of different, current diets at those times, really restrictive diets, and she'd do try to follow exercise programs, Jack LaLanne and Bonnie Prudden. I remember distinctly these things being around my house. I was always skinny, which I've heard many times. I was a skinny kid, and wasn't interested in overeating, but it came later that I thought more was better. That was my philosophy pretty young. If something tasted good, I wanted more of it. I didn't have any trouble with my weight for quite a while. When I was 12, up to 12, and I was growing fast, the football team I was trying out for had a weight limit of 135, and I was over 140, and they had to get me down to 135. I struggled to get down there. Not that I was big, but you know, to lose 10 pounds and stick to a weight. But just to stick to a diet rather. And I remember those were my first attempts at dieting, actually dying to lose weight, which I wanted to do. And my first attempts at failure, because I remember going out with on a Friday night or something with friends. I'm 12. We were 12. We were out, going to be outside for a little while till dark or so. And I remember we went somewhere, and I worked at a dry cleaners when I was 12, sweeping up in the afternoon for a couple hours, and I made a little bit of money doing that. And I had money, and we went someplace, and I ate when I knew I didn't want to eat. That was the first time I ever demonstrated that. You know, I distinctly remember failing at wanting to do something that I wanted to do. I wanted to stick to a diet that I wanted to stick to anyway. But there was other times where if something tasted good, I wanted more of it. And I remember being in elementary school, fourth and fifth and sixth grade, not much before this time. I was shoplifting. We had a lunch line we went through. I don't know what we paid for lunch, 35 cents. We had some kind of lunch. They gave us a hot lunch every day, 35 cents. And but they had some other packaged stuff that you could also buy. And I was stealing that stuff. So when things tasted good, I wanted more of it. And I also thought this more better stuck with me and can still be one of the faults about my thinking. And the other thing is, if I don't get caught, no harm, no foul. They don't know about it. What they don't know won't hurt them. I didn't know it was hurting me in my concept of me. But I went in the Marines when I was 18. Oh, when I was 16, when I was 14, rather, I got a job as a dishwasher in a little restaurant. And they rewarded you with food and stuff, which is pretty common. You know, here we got this thing and they make it a little special for you like that. But I wasn't a big thing. It wasn't a big thing to me. And I joined the Marines when I was 18, and I remember my first thing, of course, boot camp was very restrictive. But when the first time I got on board ship, we went down to Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico has a impact area, and I was in an artillery group, and they put me on mess duty on the ship to help the cooks and everything like that. And because I was helping the cooks, when they saw me come through the line, they'd feed me extra. And oh boy, I was on that ship. There was very little physical exercise. I wasn't a big ship. I remember I gained weight right away. I always gain weight really easily too. I don't have any trouble gaining weight. I don't usually have much trouble losing weight, except I can't stick to a diet. Anyway, so in the Marines, I started gaining weight. And I also want to really say, parallel with this thinking of being able to lose weight and liking eating was the idea that I really liked being skinny. I liked being skinny. That's what I wanted. And I don't mean scrawny, but I like being thin. But the term my mother, I just got it from my mother. This was left over from her. All right. So I got out of the Marines, was in college, and moved down to Orlando, Florida, and got on a diet right away. My father thought I looked a little chunky. He was right. And had some kind of a contest with me, lost some weight. And what was a big into was always, and which agreed with me very well, was Atkins diet, low calorie, keto, low carb, keto. I really like those types of things. And that's what I'm doing today, and I'm successful at it again. The problem was I couldn't stick to it. That was always my problem. And so 29, I got sober in AA. I met a guy in OA, Hal, about 6 months into that. I think it was 1985. And I started going OA, Hal. I said, okay, this is great. And I was there about 3 weeks, weighing and measuring, calling my food in. We talked a lot about squeaky clean abstinence. I remember that at the meetings. There were a lot of meetings too, in-person meetings. And I don't remember making 3 phone calls a day, but I called my sponsor every day and I wrote down my food every day. And that worked right away. And I work construction. I'm an iron worker. I remember I was losing weight. I started losing weight really quickly, working 10 hours a day. And he worked hard. I always want to say something about how hard these sponsors work to try to taper or cater this or shape this food plan so I could keep going. Because I was a man and losing weight fairly fast, he was giving me more stuff right away, more protein especially. And but when I wanted to go, and I could never see myself as sticking to this program forever. I never could think. I always wanted a break. I always wanted a cheat day. I always wanted a cheat day. I never looked at my disease as being critical. Critical. I never thought I needed a discipline and structure to put for a while. For a while, I can be disciplined and structured, but I like those times of going out. And every time I was on any kind of a diet, even in OA how, or I would just, if I got to go away or anywhere near, I'd have some kind of a celebration. And I never occurred to me that I was going to have to adjust my eating from now on if I was going to stay there. Never thought about that. And so, all right, 2004, I went to OHAL 2004. No, so 20 years later, I'm back in. Now I live in Las Vegas. I quit smoking for the third time, for the 500th time, but the third time successfully. Food started tasting a lot better. I started eating. I remember going through a drive-through and getting a meal and driving down the road and eating it in my car while I'm driving, having it all eaten before I got home, turned around and went back through the drive-through, went all the way back to that restaurant. It was so good. I got another one. And, that's the way it all, and I started gaining weight, and I was really blowing up. And I thought, man, I've got to go get some help with this. And I went to Nicotine Anonymous, and that wasn't enough. I'm a 12-step guy, and then I went to back to OA and was looking for OA How. They said, oh, there's no OA How anymore. It's C How now. And I met somebody, Jean Bell, at one of the meetings, and I asked her to sponsor me. And same thing, I did the same thing I did to that guy 20 years prior. It's 2004 now. 19 years prior, and I said, I went about 3 weeks and I just disappeared, ghosted her, just ghosted everybody. I'm not going back there. And I stayed away for another 20 years till 2025, but I didn't want to be re accountable for my food. I wanted to have an outlet. I didn't like that. So I came back 2025. My sister calls me and she says to me, she's going to go to back to Weight Watchers. Almost 2 years older than me, and she lives in Nashville. And she says she's going to back. And I said, it's January 9th, 2025. It's a Thursday night. And I said, you're not going to go. When was the last time you were at goal weight? I remember that. When was the last time you were at goal weight? I wanted to point out to her that Weight Watchers, and she said, it doesn't work. She said, in 1986, I was 135. 1986. So I tell her about CHOW, and I said, when you get off the phone, look online. I'm sure there's meetings. I didn't know they were on Zoom. I didn't know there were phone bridge meetings. I never heard of such a thing. And I think I knew, yeah, I must have known about AA on Zoom, but I didn't know. I thought there'd be in-person meetings. I didn't know, realize. So she found some, anyway. So, but I, when I got off the phone, this is what was important. When I got off the phone, I said, how can I tell her to go to see how if I'm not going to go? I mean, I've been sitting around and still doing the same exact thing, yo-yo dieting and always hating myself every day, hating the extra weight, wanting always wanting to be skinny, always promising myself every day I was going to stick to my diet. I was doing intermittent fasting. I was doing one meal a day. I was doing carnivore and paleo, and those were my type of thing. I wanted a diet where I could eat, even if it meant I could eat unlimited amounts of one type of food. I like that. That was a better idea because I wanted, oh, and I heard this in Seattle. I didn't come up with this by myself. I heard a guy say it in a meeting, the first meeting I went to, the guy said, I want to eat for volume. And I remember this other woman say, I like to, I don't really taste my food. I'm just interested in eating it and everything. That's me. That's me. I want to, I like eating food. I like eating. I like eating. I don't like that feeling all stuffed, Thanksgiving feeling. I don't like that feeling, but I eat all the way to that till I'm uncomfortable, really uncomfortable, and hate myself once again. So I talked to my sister. I also heard this guy talk about it. He said, if you're going to do something, you have an objective, a goal, do it now. Not Monday, not the first of the month, not after the holidays. Do it now. Do it right now. Get on the phone right now. You have a call? Make a call right now. So I did that. I was thinking about the, I found, see how I tried to find see how on Las Vegas. I got on the line and he had to email somebody to get permission to go to a meeting. And I didn't get any email back. So I went online and looked, and it was the Thursday night men's meeting still there. And you know, it's out LA, but it's on Zoom. And I went there. And I got there early, and I didn't know how to do Zoom. I had to download it, but I kept saying, do it now, do it now. Just keep going. Got online. Danny Lopez was there. And I remember he talked to me and he said, are you new? And I said, yeah. And he, so we were talking a little bit. And I said, and then I got through the meeting. And I took down some phone numbers. I remembered what I'd learned in OA How and See How before. I remember that stuff. So I took down some phone numbers. I got off the phone after the meeting. He hung up the phone and I called him. I said, I'll call that guy. He was friendly to me. I'll call him up and say, see what's going on. So I told him. He said, I'll work with you. So I really haven't got room, but I'll work with you. Call me tomorrow at 6:40 a.m. 6:40. Okay. Anyway, I went out that night and I got some breakfast food that I liked, that I remembered from before, that I liked, that I had, I'd have to go to Whole Foods to get. So I got that and I came back, and from what I remembered, I cobbled together my breakfast. I knew it was 4 ounces of this, and then this is protein. I had enough of an understanding to make an abstinent breakfast. And I called it in, wrote it down, called all my stuff in, and got started. You know, and I didn't know. I don't know why I kept going. I really don't. What, just being a hypocrite in front of my sister, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to tell her to do something. But you know, I let it, I got it enough that I got started. And it was, and I made phone calls that first day, which amazed me. I was stunned that I said, I'm supposed to make these phone calls. I'll go ahead and make these phone calls. So what am I going to say to these guys? I didn't know what I was going to say, but I just called. I just made the calls anyway. And I remember thinking a couple days in, I said, I'm going to jump into this thing with both feet and see what happens. Just give it all I got. Follow all their instructions. I had done that before in AA. I had that exact same thinking. You know, I was, we're getting divorced, and I was really depressed and upset about getting divorced, and I was suicidal. And I remember, and I was 3 years sober, and I said, I'm going to do what everything the big book tells me to do. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. But I'm going to try everything it says, and it worked. I did everything they said to do, and it worked. And I said, I'm going to give See How the same chance, the same chance. And here I was already hearing things I hadn't heard before. If they were said, I didn't hear them. They probably were said, and I wasn't listening, and I knew too much. I always know everything. I had a boss. I went back to college in 1992, and I was working at this Ponderosa, a restaurant, and I had this boss, and I'm working part-time. I'm a student, and I'm 40 years old. And she says, one day I come to work, and she says, Norman, you argue with everything I say. And I said, no, I don't. And I kept right on going. It never occurred to me. It never occurred to me. Because as soon as she said always, I immediately discounted it. Oh, that can't possibly be true. It can't try. No, I don't. But I never occurred to me how ironic was. As soon as I said that, I was proving her right. I was proving her right. But I was like that with life. I know everything. I'm my own worst enemy. I have, you know, remember when Pogo who's the Walt Kelly was the Pogo Comstrick a long time ago. I am the enemy and he is us. I have found the enemy and he is me. So anyway, but I kept making phone calls. I kept weighing and measuring, and I was very particular about my weighing and measuring. Back in 1985, I remember in OA, they used to talk about squeaky clean abstinence. And they were talking about being in house, squeaky clean. And at my scale, I had to say zeros. I said, because what says 0.1, I mean, where do I stop if it says 0.1? And that's me. I'm not telling anybody else how to weigh and measure their food. My full disclaimer, this is what I do, and it makes me feel good about me. It makes me have integrity. Because nobody's in the, I live alone. Nobody's watching what I'm doing. I could be doing anything. But I also have a sponsor who is important to me and I really care about. And it's important to me that I tell her the truth, that I'm telling her the truth, that there was a video camera that I was unaware of in my kitchen, and they could see my scale and what I was doing, that it would line up exactly with what I told her I was going to eat and what I have written down. And if I have to change it, I have a way of changing it. I have a text message. I mean, now with cell phones, how is it that I can't at least text somebody and they'll get the message? And also, I'm a food sponsor, so I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Not, and if I had a question, there's a lot of people with a lot of answers everywhere. Well, I can do that. But I think, to get, what am I at? 4 minutes left. I haven't even gotten every, I'm on my first day. I'm horrible at this. Anyway, so the difference, I believe, is that I finally surrendered. I looked at my disease as being at a critical level. I accepted this thing that I can't, I have an allergy, at least an allergy to sugar and flour. And I didn't, and I stopped arguing about everything. Just accepted. And it was working. The food noise in my head went away so quickly. I want to tell you the first day, but it's almost, I'm almost to say, I don't think people will believe me, but it stopped right away. As soon as I started writing it down and calling it in and being accountable to it, really weighing and measuring and being squeaky clean, the food noise started. It reminds me of that thing in the Just for Today pamphlet, which says, just for today, I will have a plan. I may not follow it exactly. That's not true with my, I want to follow my food plan exactly, but I will have it. It will save me from two pests, hurry and indecision. And I think it definitely did that with me. So I know I never wanted to weigh and measure my food. I never wanted to be committed. I never wanted to be accountable. I didn't like that. I don't like responsibility, but I still wanted an escape route. I still wanted a way out when I came here. So, I remember, and I'm a big book guy. I come out of AA and I'm a big book guy, and I'm so grateful we have the big book in this. We're supposed to be following it, but it says on page 39, it says, I will not be able to arrest my disease on the basis of self-knowledge. It will be absolutely no good to me. And I can't, there's no lurking notion, no reservation of any kind that someday I can return to normal eating, whatever that might be. So if it's anything, it's what I'm doing today, weighing and measuring my food. So I'm not good at eyeballing anything. I have to weigh and measure that I know. And weigh and measure gives me such a sense of confidence because if it's 8 ounces of vegetable today, then and it looks like too little, and tomorrow it'll look like too much. But I know it's 8 ounces. That's no, it's what I had yesterday. It's fine. And I'm completely surrendered to that. So, oh man, I didn't leave enough time to. I'm not very good. I'm not as good as I would like to be at talking on at see how. So, but this is the other thing. As we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that I am a compulsive overeater. This is the first step in recovery. And I had to look up concede in the dictionary because it's a very different word than admit. Concede means to admit that something is true or valid after first denying or refuting it. See, I didn't want it to be truthful about me, but it is true about me. I am a compulsive overeater. So, and it's about powerlessness. It's not about being weak or strong or smart. I mean, a personal, I want to say something. I look at Oprah a lot. Oprah, because she has unlimited resources, a chef, any food she wants, a gym, a personal trainer. She talks with these spiritual people, Deepak Chopra, and all these guys. But I think the missing element there, if I was going to say something, I said, the difference between that is surrender. I think it's surrender to do this whole thing. I feel bad even saying something. I'm not going to do it. Okay. So, all right. 30 seconds. What am I going to say? All right, so let's talk about the five tools. We have five tools in the Forever Abstinent book. We abstain from alcohol, sugar and flour must be fifth or lower, unchecked quantities, and negative thinking. But I think there should be two more. There's two more for me. And one of them, Danny Lopez talks about quite a bit, talks about immediacy. Because I know I have that. Because when I want to eat or something's on me, I have to do it right now. Right now. I'm going to go right now. And I'm going to go away from you. I'm not going to do it around anybody else. And that's the seventh tool I think about is secrecy. The seventh thing we abstain from, secrecy. You know, if I'm call, you know, talking to my mom about if I eat something, I'm committed to talking to myself and I'm going to do it. And I think, and this is where the powerlessness becomes so important because when I surrender, all I have to do is admit I'm powerless and my higher power can help me. And that brings me about to the second step. I have been restored to sanity. So now I'm doing things. It seems like I'm doing them naturally, but I've been restored to sanity. So I'm reacting in a sane and normal way. So I'm grateful. Thanks for letting me. I hope someday I get better at this. All right. Thanks.